This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
You're listening to All Natural with Adam Barillet on Joy 94.9. Now, as summer approaches, well, it's meant to be here already, but sharks seem to get a bit of a bad rap, especially around our beaches as we all head to the beaches, to talk to us a bit about sharks and to let us know, what are they really that dangerous? Joining me on the line right now is Richard Fitzpatrick. Richard, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, no problem at all, Adam.
Now, tell me, are sharks something that really should be feared?
Not really. I think the sharks have much more to fear from us than what we have from them. There's some stats that came out recently showing that the most dangerous thing at the beach is, in fact, the riptides killing, 30 to 40 people a year, whereas sharks, on average, is about one fatality in Australia every year.
When those fatalities are actually happening, why do you think that shark is actually attacking that human?
It's been shown in most cases it's mistaken identity. Where the shark has mistaken, a person on a surfboard or in the water for being its natural food item. And that's why with most attacks you find that the shark will bite once and then release the victim and swim away. And unfortunately, in a few cases, you get the victims bleed to death.
Okay. So, as you said, they mistake it for... Normally, sharks feed on things like sea lions and things like that. Is that right?
Yeah, sea lions in the southern waters and up here in the tropics where I am, the big sharks feed on turtles.
Okay, got you. Now, obviously, you've been doing a lot of work with sharks because you've just recently filmed a documentary. Tell us a little bit about what interests you about sharks.
Well, the documentary is called Mysteries of the Shark Coast, and it's about the research I'm doing on the sharks up here in Queensland on the Great Barrier Reef. And the main thing I'm interested in is trying to work out what the home range of different shark species are. What area do they live across? And in the film, we find out with the smaller reef sharks, some of them have a home range of just a few kilometres where they spend their entire life in a very small part of the reef, whereas others, like the big tiger sharks, we were tracking them swimming over tens of thousands of kilometres.
How do you actually track a shark? Do you actually have to get a homing device on them or something like that?
Use a range of different devices. Some we have radio transmitters that we surgically implant into the body cavity of the shark. That's how we do more of the fine-scale research. And for the tiger sharks, we actually put a specialised satellite tag on the dorsal fin. So when the shark comes to the surface, we know where it is and we can follow it by satellite and just jump on the web every day and track where our sharks are.
How do you go about actually getting those implements either on the shark or in the shark? Do you actually have to catch it, sedate it and do it surgically?
Yeah, well, that's the tricky part. The sort of unique methods that we use up here is we don't use hooks. We actually catch the sharks by the tail. So for the reef sharks, we'll go underwater and we'll put a box of food down, and when the sharks are attracted to the crate of food and they're nosing the food, then we swim up behind them and put a lasso on their tail, and then we can swim them up to the boat. And for the big tiger sharks, I've invented this device that we call the shark claw. It's kind of like a handcuff, and we put the baits out in the water, and when the shark attacks the bait, we pull it in close to the boat, and then we lean over and clamp the tail and secure the shark.
Okay.
And then we can bring it onto the boat and attach the satellite tags or do the surgery and then let the shark go.
And I'm guessing the sharks aren't too happy about having this done, but once the implement's actually on, it doesn't cause them any hassle, is that right?
That's right. The surgeries only take less than 2 minutes. So it's all very quick and relatively painless for the shark. And with the sharks, by immobilising their tail, they actually stop thrashing about very quickly because they've got no mode of sort of propulsion once you've grabbed their tail, so they just quickly calm down.
Now, I'm guessing you spend a lot of time in the water making this documentary and with the sharks. What's it like actually being down there with sharks? Is it scary? Is it peaceful? What kind of feelings do you feel when you're down there?
It's probably the best place to be. It's my favourite. It's not scary at all, because every time we're in the water, we're actually there for a reason. So we're actually more focused on the job rather than even worrying about any aspects of danger. And sometimes you actually even forget to sort of sit back and look at the beauty of the animals swimming around. We're a bit wrapped up with what we're doing at the time.
And do you get a sensation of what the sharks are feeling about you being down there around them? Is it curiosity or fear or wariness or?
Yeah, there's a few individual sharks I've been working with up here now for, you know, almost 10 years, and we know each other quite well. You know, I've caught the same sharks a few times a year because one of the research items we do is, you know, look at growth rates, and you really get to get a sort of intimate knowledge of individual animals, which is a really cool thing to start looking at them. And every time you go underwater and you're watching the animals, you kind of start to get more of an insight into what they're doing, which at the end of the day just poses more questions.
I know some people say their cats and their dogs have personalities. Have you noticed, if you've been spending more time with certain sharks, do sharks have personalities?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's one tiger shark we worked with a few years ago, and we ended up calling her Ripley, and we filmed her over a couple of weeks on quite a few occasions eating sea turtles, and she was about 4 metres long. And she would let me get right up next to her, so close that, you know, a few times I was too close and I'd put my hand out and push back off her head. And she would just swim around us, and yeah, she was just a big, placid shark. She was just a wonderful animal.
Wow. Now, part of what's happening with Shark Week on the Discovery Channel is they're working with the WWF to try and educate people about sharks. What are some of the main points you'd like to get across to the listeners that they need to understand about sharks?
Well, sharks are pretty well critically endangered all around the world, and a lot of our shark stocks in Australia aren't doing that well. And the main reason the sharks aren't doing that well is through overfishing. And WWF are running a campaign at the moment to try and get Australia's Coral Sea turned into a multi-use marine park. And that's where we're doing most of the research, and the research is going straight into the campaign and to the fisheries managers to highlight... you know, the plight of the sharks out there, and that we can understand more about the sharks out there. And by determining their home ranges, then we can work out how big protected zones would have to be to protect those species in the future. So the good thing about the Coral Sea area is that, you know, at the moment it's not heavily fished, so you can go out there and see, you know, good numbers of sharks. So it makes good sense for us to get this area protected so it can be used sustainably in the future before, you know, there's any big fishing pressure out there, because it's one of the last bastions for sharks anywhere in the world.
So is it fishing the main reason that they're becoming endangered?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Is that people fishing for sharks, or people fishing for other things and sharks getting caught up in the way?
Both. You have targeted shark fisheries around Australia, and then you also have bycatch issues as well, with different, you know, netting techniques in the inshore areas and stuff like that. So, the fishermen themselves are pretty proactive out in the Coral Sea. There's an MOU at the moment where the Coral Sea fishermen aren't going within 2 kilometres of the reefs out there. And basically, in terms of scientists, we're playing catch-up, trying to learn just the basic biology of these animals. And as we come up with the answers on, you know, how fast they grow, how far they move and all that kind of stuff, then we can come up with management plans to keep, you know, the shark fishery sustainable. And the fishermen, at the end of the day, want that as well.
And is there much of a demand for shark meat in Australia?
More so in the southern states, where people buy their flake at the fish and chip shops. And also there's a big demand, obviously, for shark fin for export.
Yep. And what personally interests you, Richard, about sharks in particular?
Well, I was just trying to get an insight into their life. I mean, when we go underwater and film sharks or do research on sharks, we have to bait them in. So we're already seeing the sharks in a sort of non-natural behaviour. But by putting these electronic tags on them, we're able to monitor the sharks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's starting to give us an insight into the real life of the shark. So we're using the electronics to spy on the real deal.
Well, Richard, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us. Of course, your documentary, Mystery of the Shark Coast, is showing on the Discovery Channel on the 18th. Do you know what time it's on?
7:30.
Well, thank you very much for having the chat to us today and letting us know that sharks aren't really something that we need to be scared of.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
That's Richard Fitzpatrick. Once again, his documentary will be showing on the Discovery Channel on the 18th of January at 7:30. And basically the aim of Shark Week, which Discovery Channel is running, is to work in conjunction with the WWF to educate people about sharks, that they are incredible creatures and they should not be feared.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.